I must quote old lady who says about shooting, it's all rubbish. They'll take these photos and go abroad and earn some money. I've seen it all, she said. And of course you could cut this out, but you left in because it is kind of statement, isn't it?
There's a lot of history to what she's saying. And I think it really goes back to 1950s when Satyajit Ray made his first film, Song of the Road, Pathiyar Panchali, and absolutely marvelous masterpiece. But one of the great actor in Indian cinema, Nargis, who used to be in Raj Kapoor films, and she was also a member of parliament at the time, and she said, how can you sell India's poverty abroad to that film? And I think somewhere this notion has stuck with Indians about let's not wash dirty laundry in public. Let's keep India's poverty to ourselves. Let's not go out with it. And it's our internal problem.
And even now with this last movie,
absolutely, yeah. Slumdog Millionaire.
Because
all of us went to see this film with this notion that it is selling India's poverty. I didn't feel like that. I didn't care for the film. That's a different matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it sensationalizes and packages India's poverty. But I don't have a problem. So the other reason why I kept this this statement in the film was because there is this, no, actually it does exist in a way. A lot of people come to India, they shoot what is exotic to them. They go out, people don't come back to the people, they don't show, they don't share. So it is also an important conflict that we are dealing with as filmmakers. When I go, I'm also I could also be seen as the other. I needn't be a foreigner or a white skin, but I could also be seen as the other. And most of the time, the filmmaking in India is also the middle class, the bourgeois, the rich people going out. And documentary is bad news, right? Generally, so you're going out to make a film about the other, which is the poor. And this is a notion that I think we better start dealing with. How is this otherness, because largely in India, it's also connected with this film. For Mrs., most people is like us and them. We've created the them, you know, it's not us. So, and then the them is reacting to us, and it's important to bring it up and talk about it. So I decided to include it. And also I wanted to make the whole notion of filmmaking transparent. And it's in the tradition of this film, because I think it was it could be seen as a very exploitative kind of filmmaking, because I'm not only having the camera, I'm the director, I'm the employer. So does two people have say in this? So it was very important to talk about all these things rather than show it as sort of fly on the wall kind of camera, etc. That these are things that you are dealing with in everyday life while you're shooting, even if you're an Indian.
I also felt that this sentence makes all the difference. So about your second role of an employer, at the beginning of the film you say, I got myself a maid. It's a very short sentence, but very crucial too. It's a quintessence of not only this relation employer and servant, but also about underpayment and exploitation and class system and caste system. And there is one scene where you try to cross the line, and that's when you invite Lakshmi to eat with you. And I think it's a very good scene, because she's very embarrassed. She giggles, she laughs, and she really doesn't know what exactly to do with her there. And she actually doesn't want to cross this line. And because she knows it's kind of tricky. She will be domesticated, and you will continue to be employer. So, do you also think this is a very, very important scene? I mean, because this issue of eating together.
Just want to go back a little bit into that's the only point I used. Two points I used. The camera was on and Lakshmi wasn't aware.
Mm-hmm.
What was happening when I started filming was that Lakshmi is extremely comfortable with camera, unlike me.
Mm-hmm.
she's a natural actor and she's able to portray her role very well. So being so natural, she just knew that now she's going. So what she was doing was when I put the camera on, she would behave like another person and not what she was. Mm-hmm. Like in the initial days of filming, she would sit on a chair, and as soon as she sees the light of the camera go off, she would sling down on the floor. So she was playing this game, and she would say things that I want to hear. She, you know, that Didi wants to hear, etc. So it was all very like, yeah, pleasing me kind of a thing. And I said, this is not getting anywhere. So I started like filming every day, which was very uncomfortable for her. If she knew it was a shooting day, it was fine. Then she was mentally prepared that, yeah, we're going to shoot. But it was just like if she came to work and I, you know, got up and started filming, she would be extremely uncomfortable. So just getting into also this process of filmmaking, which wasn't as comfortable as it becomes later in the film. And I wanted to, it was very important that I filmed this scene without her knowing that the camera is on. So we had put the light off of the camera and we wanted this because actually it's a huge, huge thing. I mean, I'm sitting here, it doesn't seem like a big thing. So she was completely embarrassed that she has to, you know, sit at the table with us and eat. I mean, this is shocking. But once we did it, it was absolutely all right. You know, we could do it again and again and again, and it was something like a wall that was broken. Yeah, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's that wall is not there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also about.
If she eating now is you?
Yeah. It's a very different relationship now.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's just about. You know, going out and breaking it and saying, okay, this is how we have to do it. But I think the film helped. Because earlier when I was trying to do it, it didn't. But somehow with the presence of the camera and people and making a point about it, concretizing it on film helped much more than trying to do it in everyday life. And also when I tried to explain the concept of the film to Lakshmi, she didn't understand. I said, it's a film about us. She saw it as a film about herself, and she's a heroine, and yeah, her struggle, she's been working since the age of 10, and la 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 la, you know, that kind of a thing. But only after she saw the film, she understood what I was trying to say all the time, and she understood that. But I think I had to make the film to do that, because otherwise she would, because it's not easy for her, you know. She can come into my house and be completely comfortable with me. When she moves into another house, she has to play back again. She has to sit on the ground and play another role. So she can't take me for granted at the time when I was making this film.
I'm sure people would like to know more about arranged marriages and dowry and about caste problem. I mean, it's a lot of... all this in the movie, so in the film. So, yeah.
Well, just to get over with that, I think most Indians get married in an arranged fashion.
Yeah.
That makes love marriage sort of a unique thing.
Lakshmi says, in our family, it was always about money and not about love and relationship. Huh?
Yeah. But... it has to be about money in poor families.
Sure.
They're struggling. I mean, it's every day it's about how you get the money and how you struggle, etc. So, what Lakshmi did is an unusual thing.
Mm.
And I think I also say in the film that she's rather uninhibited for an Indian woman to even make this advance to the man, like, hey, you're looking at me, like, hey, what's up, do you like me, etc. Not happening with Indian women. They would take, like, you know, they
could,
they would, you know, go more conservative, the man chasing the woman, etc., kind of a thing. So she's very unusual. But it's also very interesting that as soon as she gets married to this man, she falls into this very usual woman, married woman kind of a thing, which is a little sad. Because for me, during the film, she had become like this figure that really inspired me and kept me going. The motivating thing about this film was her fighting spirit. And despite her being kind of illiterate, etc., I mean, she had a way of dealing with men, municipality, or, you know, all sorts of policemen, etc. She's amazing quality to her. But as soon as she gets married and she's in love, she sort of transforms into this very conventional woman, and that's interesting too, you know. But a little sad for me that she couldn't keep up with her. But she is now getting back slowly once Krishna shattered her kind of expectations of him. She is now slowly getting back to herself.
Yeah, when the baby is born, they both say, we hoped for a boy. And maybe we can talk a little bit about this boy-girl ratio in India, which is quite...
Yeah, it's a huge problem. I mean, and it's
huge,
connected to this arranged marriage, dowry.
The
woman's family has to give a dowry, so it becomes like a huge burden for the family to, if they have daughters, then, you know, then they just have to have so much money to marry them off, etc. So it's better to have boys. So there's a high incident of female infanticide. Yeah, it's a huge
abortions
problem.
Abortions also,
I don't know what, I always forget the term when the doc, yeah. They abort the girl child.
The girl child.
Even at a very late stage. It's harmful for the mother. Which is creating very interesting sort of a, you know, this proportion of men to women ratio is creating very interesting things in some states, where they actually have to import women from other states into some North Indian states to marry the men. And sometimes it's like a very ridiculous situation of polygamy, where one man is married to... three brothers are married to one woman, etc. Kind of a very weird situation. So, yeah.
But it's not all only in India. It's also in China. And demographers say now that in 2050 it will be an enormous gap between in South Asia.
Yeah.
What happened with union of domestic workers?
They're going really strong.
Yeah.
But till now they've only met one demand, which is the pension, which is like 10 euros a month or something.
Yeah, I have to tell 600 rupees is 10 euros.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, it's just merely slave wages, really survival wages that they're getting. And that's also the standard put by the government, which is my big issue. Like, how does the government set minimum wages at 10 euros a month? Which is completely ridiculous. And I feel that's really to do with the entire casteist mentality that India has. That you can have, like, hordes and millions of workers, and you set up a wage, like, 3,000 rupees a month as a minimum wage, and it's ridiculous. So it's not even like the, you know, people are flouting rules as such. But this is set by the government, and so it's that's another level of struggle that has to happen.
Sorry,
but I just wanted to say I just wanted to say that Lakshmi is all right.
This was my question, also very important one. What happened to Lakshmi?
No, she's much better. Mm-hmm. She's still with Krishna. Mm-hmm. The baby is ready to go to school, preschool. She's 3 years old. Mm-hmm. And Lakshmi is, of course, still working as a domestic worker because she cannot get another job because she's not lettered. And that's another part of the struggle with Lakshmi, you know, whether she should go back to school and learn and, mm-hmm. and then she can maybe, both Lakshmi and Krishna actually. So I just wanted to say that she has survived mm-hmm. all this and yeah. she is much healthier.
Yeah, because she looks very bad at yeah. one moment.
The father melted as soon as he saw the baby, so they came back together. So everything is like, yeah, all is happy in the end, right? I mean, till now, things are much better. Yeah. And the family, he took all the other girls back to the village and then they came back after 40 days, which meant that the girls lost their jobs, which was really traumatic for them. Because actually the village is completely mythical, you know. There are no jobs in the villages mm-hmm. and that's why there's such a high rate of... Rural to urban migration. So he went there and, you know, came back.
But and why exactly he wanted them to go to the village to get husbands? Or no?
It's some idea. Because, you know, people have left their villages to come to the city. Mm-hmm. And city, the living is difficult and the girl got corrupted, you know. She mm-hmm. ran away with the boy and mm-hmm. married in another caste. So. You know, they should take them back to the more purer, this sort of pastoral paradise which doesn't exist anymore in any sense. Mm-hmm. So they have to come back to the city because that's where the living is. And the girls, anyway, the girls, they're earning and they support the father and the other kids. Mm-hmm. And there are not enough jobs in the village. Otherwise, why would so many people come to the cities? Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say, we were a little afraid with this film because Mrs. Vaswani is also a fairly good employer, quite concerned, and I think I'm a nice employer. So we thought that this film is not going to work for the domestic workers because it doesn't really deal with the narrative of abuse mm-hmm. in India because that it's really bad how domestic workers are seen. But it was very interesting because the domestic workers said, "Oh, this film can be used as a good example." Mm-hmm. So it came as a surprise to me because we were talking about how bad it is, etc. But it's too subtle. Mm-hmm. And they said, "Oh, this can be used as a good example." So it was interesting. And they are using it now to talk about it and show this film, mm-hmm. etc. in their conferences, meetings.
If we return to this union thing, do you think they have any chance to negotiate with government and to get some, at least pension and maybe
pension?
Social?
They've got mm-hmm. the women in Bombay at least.
Yeah, but it's only in Bombay.
Yes. But then you know Bombay has a whole history of working class unity, trade unions. Mm-hmm. That's been the culture of Bombay. Mm-hmm. It's very different from other states, which are far more feudal. Mm-hmm. Kerala, the South Indian state, already has equal rights for domestic workers. And also, amongst the right is that in the house, a domestic worker will sit on the table and eat along with the members of the family. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. And but the wages are high, so therefore it's actually a lot of people are unemployed in Kerala.
Kerala is very special.
It's been a traditionally a communist state. But interestingly, another communist state, Calcutta, West Bengal, is extremely feudal. So communism in India doesn't really mean that things are really better or more equal. Or there have been land reforms, definitely, but in these other matters, necessarily, if equal rights have been established, it's not really mm-hmm. the case. Yeah. But to go back, I think the struggle is long. Mm. Domestic workers, they are not going to, because they have not yet got this four-day leave, mm-hmm. or they want a paid maternity leave. And then on paper, they're supposed to even get like, they're supposed to be paid for schooling of the children, etc. Mm-hmm. None of these rights have been met, and so it's a long struggle.
It's interesting, in Kolkata, sex workers are having the same demands, and
yeah.
they have very, very strong trade union
also.
But I doubt they will get it. I mean,
yeah, maybe the domestic workers will get it before the sex workers. You never know.
Yeah.